You are listening to weekly messages from Austin Christian Fellowship. For more information about ACF, visit acfellowship.org.
So if I don't have the chance to know you, my name is Will Davis Jr., and it is great to see you here. That is a perfect lead-in for what I want to just talk to you about for a few minutes. And it really is going to be a few minutes because I'm tag-teaming tonight with Daryl, who was just up here. We're doing a four laps. I'm doing the first. He's doing the last three. If you need a Bible, will you raise your hand? We'll bring you one right now. Don't be shy. We give away Bibles every single week. Kids in the room, welcome. If you need a Bible, raise your hand. We'll bring you one. You can keep it if you want to. And find Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. So what you just saw was evidence. I've known Mitchell a lot of years, and it is evidence of something that God desires for everybody in this room, not necessarily to be a deacon, but to grow. Hebrews 6, I thought about this about my life today. How would you be different if you were more mature spiritually a year from now than you are right now? Because I'm talking to a room full of people who maybe some of you are not Christians. So maybe you'd be new to faith. Some of you are Christians, but you've not been engaged with God for a while. Some of you are seasoned Christian veterans. The desire of God is for every one of us to grow. So if you are more mature in God, kids, if you grew up in God in a year, would your language be different? Would you spend your time differently? Would you drive differently? Would you respond to conflict differently? How would you treat your enemies any different? How would you treat your relationships in your home? How would you spend your money differently? That's a great question for Austin Christian Fellowship 4 Points. You notice I didn't start over for the video because this will be on the internet, but the other communities, we have 5 other locations around the city. They're all being talked to this weekend by their pastors. So Daryl and I get to talk to you just as ACF 4 Points in a very specific message for you right now. It's for you guys. Hebrews 6 verse 1 says, therefore, leaving the elementary doctrine of the Christ, let us go on, let us press on, literally, let us be taken on to maturity. Not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works or faith toward God. Or the instruction about washings, which is another word for baptisms. Or laying on of hands or resurrection from the dead. And I like this next phrase. And this will do if God permits. This is all up to God. We can make ourselves available, but if we're going to grow, he's going to be behind it. There's a spiritual dynamic to maturing. How would you be different in a year? I don't want you to be offended, please, by that term mature. It's not an implication to me or to you that we're not mature necessarily. The point is, when you're dealing with an infinite God, you never arrive. There's always more of God. You can always get more of who he is. You can always be more like him. You can always be more full of his spirit. You can always be more Christ-like in your responses. And so there's no capping it off where you get somewhere and you're done spiritually. The same is true, ACF, for a church. Churches don't arrive. Churches don't ever say, hey, we got it together. They never get to a point where they have to stop striving for more of God and more of what he wants of them as their outpost of his love in a neighborhood. We are an outpost of Jesus' love in this neighborhood. We're just a loving outpost. That's all we are. You never settle that. You never get there. As I stand before you here mid-August 2018 as the senior pastor and have been here now 25 years, I have this sense of more that God wants of me and that God wants of us as a church. It is not an indictment that we haven't been where we're supposed to be. It's just, hey, there's always more. And when I mean us as a church, I mean specifically Four Points. That there's a role he has for us, friends. And if you're new this evening, it's a perfect chance for you to kind of hear what this church is a little bit about. We have a very unique opportunity in our neighborhood, but also in the city of Austin. We also carry the weight of supporting five other congregations. Our ACF communities around the city, of 50 nonprofits in the city, and three or four ministries nationally, and four or five around the globe. You know that. We are that involved financially and with people. That's an amazing assignment, and it's something God wants to continue to ask us to rise to the occasion to. I'm so convicted about that and about the role Four Points needs to play in the last 4 weeks or in the next 5, 10, 15 years, whatever. I wrote Daryl recently and said, can we have a chat? Because I'm not convinced this ACF Four Points thing isn't a two-man job. And I said, would you be open? Because I used to be the Four Points pastor. And when we started planting churches, I became the senior pastor. And ACF became a community like the rest of our communities. And Daryl became the community pastor. And he's run this church. I hope you guys know what rock stars we have in Marie and Daryl Holden. Do y'all know that, by the way? Just in case you don't know. I'm serious. I am so serious. Just spend some time with them. Listen to their marriage. Listen to how they raise their kids. Anyway. Sarah, Daryl, would you be willing for me to come back and become the pastor of Four Points and you be associate pastor? Because I think that what we need to happen there mainly require both of us for us to become all God expects us to be. And he prayed about it and talked about it, and he said, yep, come on. I was kind of hoping he'd say no. He said, come on. I'm just giddy. So beginning September 1st, I get to come back as lead pastor, whatever that means, of ACF. But the roles you see us play aren't going to change a lot. Daryl's going to continue to lead the staff here, continue to lead part of ministry here. I'll be putting some influence in kind of what happens here in worship. Got a lot of desire to put some influence in prayer and evangelism and vision, primarily, that every ACF four-pointer knows this is what our job is in the city of Austin. And I just can't wait, guys. I'm just giddy. But maturity is going to be the key. So I asked Daryl, can you own the process of taking somebody who's brand new in Christ or just figuring out Christ to the time that they're spiritually mature enough to feed themselves? Can you own that process for Four Points and our other communities so that we're all growing together? And he said, absolutely. So there you go. You got a whoop. That's the first. I don't get whooped very often. Just double entendre. So what he's going to talk about the rest of the time is how on to maturity works, because it's something God expects of all of us, regardless of where you are. He wants more, and it's something God expects of a church. And so there's the foundation laid. Would you welcome to the stage the soon-to-be associate pastor of Austin Christian Fellowship, Daryl Holden, ladies and gentlemen. Not bad.
Am I on? There we go. All right, we had a bet on how long that was going to take. I won. So Will started with a really profound question for you guys. I want to ask you a question at the beginning of this time together too, but like, I need the kids to be awake for it as well. All right, so mom and dad, nudge them. They've been drawing or whatever they've been doing. All right, kids, you ready? I have a question for you. How many of you are dog people? Like, you love dogs? Wow, that is overwhelming. Okay. All right, so put your hands down. How many of you are cat people? Yeah, just a few of you. Okay, yeah, but we got some enthusiastic cat people. Like, you are in or out on cats. Any guinea pig people in here? Yeah, a couple guinea pigs. We've been guinea pig families. All right, so here's what I am. I am a dog person who has owned one really cool cat in my lifetime. The cat was interesting. I'd never had a pet like that before. And I heard this little statement that really helped me understand cats and dogs. You've probably heard this thing. A cat looks at its humans and says, these people, like, they love me and they feed me and they give me this pillow to lay on and they pet me and they take care of me. I must be a god. Right? Those of you who have cats, you know that's true. A dog, on the other hand, says, these people love me and they take care of me and they give me this pillow to lay on, they pet me, they feed me. They must be God. Right? Like, they're just exact opposite responses to what they're given. And I love that little example, especially with our kids in the room. I love that little example as our jumping in spot to this conversation about discipleship and pressing on to maturity. Because honestly, we as people kind of do the same thing to God. Right? There's this, you've seen it. You've probably done this a little bit in your life. You, like, God gives you this blessing and goodness and beauty in your life, and you kind of, it all falls on you, and you have a tendency to look and say, wow, I must deserve this. I must be special. There must be something good. And we respond to God like he kind of owes us these things, and it's all about us, and we're the reason he's given us these things. And then other times what we do is, like, we receive this beauty and this goodness from God, and it falls on us and falls into our lives, and there's this, like, he must be God. There's a response to that is, like, that he must be God. And the big difference between cats and dogs is, like, a cat is going to live life on its own terms and invite you to join him or her, and a dog is going to live life on your terms. And I think that's a great picture of what spiritual maturity is. Spiritual maturity really is just it's an ability to see and to recognize God's blessing and his goodness in your life, no matter what your circumstances are. It's an ability to see and to recognize his goodness and his blessing in your life. And your response to all of that is, like, you must be God. That's what spiritual maturity is. It's like, it's being more like a dog and less like a cat when it all boils down to it. So we'll start, yeah, I get an amen on the cat thing. Right, okay. So we'll started with Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1, where the scripture encourages us to let ourselves be taken on to maturity, like press on to spiritual maturity. I want to read for us the ending of that section. So if you've got your Bible, just let your eyes run down there to starting in verse 7. It's talking about this. It's still talking about pressing on to spiritual maturity and whether you should or not, or whether you will or not. In verse 7 says, for ground that has drunk the rain that has often fallen on it and that produces vegetation useful to those it's cultivated for receives a blessing from God. But if it produces thorns and thistles, it's worthless and about to be cursed and will be burned at the end. And then verse 9 is this, even though we're speaking this way, dear friends, in your case, we are confident of the better things connected with salvation. And so what I wanted you guys to hear from me tonight, like, there's these two plots of ground in this scripture. And both plots of ground receive the same rain. They're cultivated by the same farmer. The same seed is sown on them. And one plot of ground bears fruit that's useful to the one who's cultivating it, and that plot of ground receives a blessing from God. The other plot of ground, instead of bearing what it was cultivated for, it bears thorns and thistles, and it is in danger of being cursed. And this is motivation to press on to spiritual maturity. Because the people who press on receive a blessing that comes from God, and the people who sit and say, no thanks, not now, like, those people find themselves, as the scripture says, worthless and near to being cursed. And it's not talking about eternal destiny or anything like that. It's talking about the life that you get to live today is not a life that produces fruit and blessed by God. It's a life that produces thorns and thistles, and, like, you just kind of get what you get. If you want to do it on your own, you'll just kind of get what you get. And so my encouragement to you tonight is, like, we at ACF, we're the kind of people who press on to these better things. We're confident of these better things for one another in these days ahead. And so as you think about this push to maturity, think in terms of, like, more and more, I want to live life on God's terms. And he's going to bless me. I'm going to receive these better things. You're being invited into giving more of yourself to God. So there's this invitation, the first group of people that Jesus actually invited to be his disciples. It's in Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. Jesus offers this invitation. And I think understanding what this invitation is, like understanding what's been offered here, is really critical in the saying. So Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, if you're going to say yes to something, you need to know what you're being asked. So Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, Jesus is looking at James and John, the first disciples, and they're fishing with their dad in the family business. They've been through basically what was elementary school in those days, and they graduated from that, and they made it through middle school, and most likely there was no school available, no rabbi available to them beyond that, and so they just did what all the other guys did. They joined their dad in the family business, and Jesus, who was a rabbi at that time, a teacher in first century Israel, he's walking, and he says to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And that invitation that he issued to those very first people is an issue that stand, or is an invitation that stands for you and for me. Jesus, first of all, like it's three pieces. First thing he says is follow me. And so what he's offering you is a chance to be redirected. When we were singing a little earlier, Craig referenced Ephesians chapter 2 and talked about when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, we were following the culture, we were following our own flesh, we were following Satan and not knowing it. And Jesus looks at people who are walking that direction and says to them, hey, follow me. And so he offers you this new path that actually leads to life. Follow me, let me give you a new direction in which you can walk. Follow me. And if you'll say yes to following after Jesus, follow me and I will make you. So there's an invitation to being remade. And if you're sitting here tonight and you say, hey, I think I'm fine with the way I am, I would love to ask you a question. Just kind of sit down and really take stock of where you are in your life. Are you really fine with where you are? When you think about the two plots of ground that we talked about a few minutes ago, like, would you say that my life is, like, it's bearing fruit that's useful to the one who made me, that it is, like, I feel like I'm living under the blessing of God? Or do I wonder, like, what's the purpose of all of this? And so Jesus looks at us as people who are walking our own way and says, hey, follow me, and I will remake you. I love that, like that statement there, Ephesians chapter 2, which Craig referenced again. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. The Apostle Paul, so different guy, still writing to Christian people, he says, like, you are God's handiwork or workmanship, created in Christ to do good works which God ordained beforehand for you to do. That idea of being remade, I will make you. You will become God's handiwork, somebody that he reforms and refashions when you say yes to this invitation that he's issued to you. Follow me, and I will make you. And then he just tells us what he's going to make us. I will make you fishers of men. And I guess for a couple of guys sitting in a boat who were part of the family fishing business, maybe that made a lot of sense to them. Jesus were talking to you or to me, he might give us a little bit of a different image, but really what he was inviting people into was a chance to pursue his agenda, the life that he wanted to offer to them, a life that's filled with like eternal purpose, eternal meaning. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Like some of you experienced being involved in something that was bigger than you that would last for longer than your lifetime. Right, so all of us get up and go to work every day, and we do the things that are right in front of us, and on occasion, and for some of us it's a lot, and for some of us it's not very often, but on occasion you have a conversation that makes a difference, or you get to do something that serves somebody in such a way that you just know when you walk out of there, like, I had one of those God moments that he made me to do. What he's offering you is the opportunity to live a life of being remade into someone who ministers to and mediates his presence to the people who are around you. Like somebody who's on mission for more than just themselves. And again, I don't know, as you sit here, like, I don't know how good that sounds to you. If you've never experienced something like that, I'll I can just tell you, I've been both places, and living a life that is motivated by what I can get for me and mine and how much comfort and ease and peace I can create for myself compared to living a life that is on the agenda that God has set for me, like there's just no comparison. I understand if you're a person who's unengaged, you would sit back and you would say, man, that life that I'm trying to create for myself, that looks way better. But what I've experienced, what many people sitting in this room have experienced is like, got that life mostly created and it didn't work. And so you have to change the picture. You have to change what you're chasing and pursue that, and you get close to that and it's not working. And with the consistent witness of the people of God through the centuries is that life that you walk out on your own, like you just never find it. The life that you're looking for on your own, you never find. But the life that Jesus offers you, like that's truly life. And so Jesus offers this opportunity to follow him. Now think about that. Think about those words. Like that isn't walk beside me. That isn't walk in front of me and like, hey, I'll bless wherever you choose to put your feet. That is walk behind me. Follow me, get on my path, my plan, my framework for your life. Follow me and I will remake you and give you a mission like I'm going to repurpose you for what you were originally created to do. And wherever you are, so like if you're sitting here and you're just kind of checking the whole church thing out and trying to figure out, is this something you're interested in? And you're hearing me talk about this, and like that's a serious thing. To say yes to somebody who says, follow my lead, let me remake you and let me repurpose you. Or if you're sitting here and like you've been in this for a while, but Will's talking like there's more and there's gonna be more for us and there's gonna be more required of us, and you're kind of scratching your head and wondering what that is and how does all that look? And I don't really know, because like I followed Jesus for a long time, but I'm comfortable with where I am today. You never reach spiritual maturity. You're always pressing on to spiritual maturity. And to resubmit yourself to Jesus, to make sure that you are still right behind him. You haven't walked out beside him and you're not ahead of him, but like that you are still, there's a book about this called Walking in the Dust of the Rabbi. That's a great title of like that you are walking in Jesus' dust. To say yes to that, to allow him to continue to remake you and to maybe even in this season of where you are in spiritual maturity, to let him repurpose you from a thing that you are comfortable doing into something maybe that's outside your comfort zone, that takes a tremendous amount of faith. It takes a tremendous amount of faith. I'm standing here on the stage talking to you about it, and coming through a season where I've had to look at Jesus and say, hey, I'm gonna walk behind you and I'm gonna let you remake me and let you repurpose me. Like, it takes a lot of confidence in him to do that. And we're asking you for the same thing that like I've just kind of been through, to be able to be, just to be open to what God wants to do in you, with you, through you, to be willing to say yes to him. It takes a tremendous amount of faith to do that. And so I want to give you this one sentence to kind of hold on to, that is, like, this is, Marie and I have this as a core value for our family. This is something that we hold on to regularly. And we've experienced this over and over in our lives, and it's true, like it's been true through the centuries with God's people. The Bible consistently witnesses to this. You guys tell stories to us of this. It's true. This is true. Here's the statement. God always meets our faith with his faithfulness. I will give you permission to write that down. And you, if you ever say that somewhere else, you don't have to give me credit. I'm not sure it's mine. But it's true. God always meets our faith with his faithfulness. See, because faith a lot of times feels like you're stepping off a ledge. You're stepping into a great unknown. But God never lets you crash to the bottom of what you feel like you're stepping into. He always meets your faith with his faithfulness. That's the God who's issued this invitation to you and to me to follow him, to let him redirect us, to let him remake us, to let him repurpose us for his greater purpose and vision. That he always meets our faith with his faithfulness. And that's regardless of the circumstances. No matter how hard things are, how easy things might be, how much you feel like smiling or crying in this moment. When you step towards God, especially in those moments where it feels like you're stepping off a cliff, when you step towards God, he always meets your faith with his faithfulness. If you struggle with that a little bit, in this letter to the Hebrews that we're in tonight in chapter 6, just turn a few more pages towards the back, Hebrews chapter 11. There's this amazing chapter of the Bible of men and women who continued to say yes to what God was offering them, who discovered that he met their faith with his faithfulness. It's the story of their lives. If you need to just hear God speak some things into your life, not through me, but through his word, like that's a great place to read if you're considering this call to press on to maturity. So you should know this, that God always meets your faith with his faithfulness. So as Will and I talked about this time together tonight, especially in kind of on the, you know, the leading edge of this new thing, this new call for us as a church, let me tell you some things that, those of you who are ACFers, you already know these things, but let me just kind of tell you where you're going to be called to sort of a new level of engagement. All right, there's a handful of things here. The first thing that we're going to be calling you to is more engagement with your small group. So you just need to know that it is not okay to be at ACF and be isolated. It's just not. And it's never been okay to be at ACF and to be isolated, to be on your own, to be kind of doing just the me and God and we got our Christian life thing. That's not okay here. And the reason it's not okay is because the people who are isolated are the people who get picked off. Faith in Jesus is like it's a team sport. He didn't call one guy to be his disciples, to be his disciple. He called 12 guys to be his disciples, and they did life together. And so your small group, how many of you guys, like, I'm going to ask you an embarrassing question. How many of you guys are in a small group of some sort? Okay, there you go. Good. So we're off to a great start. If you're not in a small group, you're really missing out. You really are. You're missing out on a group of people who will encourage you, pray for you, listen to you, let you serve them, listen to them, help them, ask you for prayer. Like, it is a great opportunity to walk alongside, to walk with other Christian people who are also following Jesus. Because we're sort of a unique bunch, right? People who've said yes to walk in the dust of Jesus and let him remake and repurpose us. There's not a lot of us, and so we have to stick together because we have the same kind of things that we're struggling with, the same stuff we need to know, the same stuff we need to believe. And so small group, whether it's a men's group, women's group, whether you're in a group that's mixed gender, whether it's ACF group, I know a bunch of guys meet in the neighborhood in Steiner Ranch, like that part doesn't matter. You need to be face-to-face regularly with other Christian people who are saying the same kind of yes that you're saying. And we're going to just keep working that. Because you won't grow alone. You won't grow alone. Faith in Jesus, it is this really personal relationship. Like each one of us have a personal relationship with God. And that has to be worked out in relationship with other people. If you're not working that out in relationship with other people, you're missing a lot of that remaking and repurposing that God has for you. And so there's just going to be this new call to deeper, more engagement in your small groups. The second thing is in the Bible. Like this is God's word. And so you are going to be encouraged, equipped, pushed, cajoled to read that thing. Like to know what it says and to know why it says that for yourself. One of my favorite things all throughout Proverbs, which is the book of wisdom. It's a wise man speaking to his son, preparing his son for life and for leadership. And over again, he tells to him, store up wisdom, store up knowledge. And he's speaking to his wisdom and his knowledge concerning God's word, the Bible. Because there comes a day in your life when you need to know what that book says. And you don't always get to prepare for that. It's a retirement word. For people who are storing up for the day you can't work, for people who are storing up for their retirement, you know what it means to store something up for a day when you're going to need it. And God tells his people, store that up in your life. It's okay to read something that you're not really sure what it means for you in this moment. To know what God has said, to know why he has said it. He may have it for you to share with somebody else who's struggling in the next few minutes, or you may have it working around in your heart for the next few weeks, months, or years because of something that he knows is coming towards you. It's an incredible opportunity that God has given us to have his word in our hands, free to you every week at church, on your phone. Like, we have God's word in eyeshot and earshot all the time. And so you're going to be pushed. You're going to be pushed to be engaged, more and more engaged with God's word. Right now, we're in this thing called Pursuit, which is an 18-month read through the Bible. We are 6 months into it. How many of you guys are with us or sort of with us in this? All right, yeah, awesome. So you guys are experiencing this. As I get feedback from people who are reading the Bible on most days out of the week, the stories that I hear about how life is going, the peace that they have, their relationship with God, what they contribute when they're in a room with other Christian people, like, those are amazing stories. And God does stuff through his word. The Bible, in this letter to Hebrews, it talks about how the Bible is living and active and powerful and sharp, piercing all the way into the deepest parts of who we are. It's this living book that God, the Holy Spirit, who lives inside of us, makes alive. And to let it sit on a shelf or with that app closed on your phone day after day after day after day is like, you're missing something. You're missing. And so we're going to keep pressing on our engagement as individual people and together in the scriptures. And then the other things that we're going to be pressing towards is prayer and worship. And these are the things that, like, these are the foundations for a healthy relationship with God. And I was trying to think of, so I know especially for guys, when you start talking about prayer and worship, sometimes it's like that feels like that's what the ladies do. And it's true. Like, generally, in churches, the ladies just outpace the men, particularly in this arena. So guys, I was trying to think in terms, it's like you have this relationship with God. And if I could just kind of bring it down, just like go with me with this image. Prayer and worship in a relationship with God is kind of like movies and dinner in a relationship with a lady. I mean, like, if you were trying to cultivate a relationship with somebody, that's baseline stuff. Of, like, it just starts there. And prayer and worship is where that's time that you spend with the Lord your God. And every relationship that you have in your life requires time. And for all of us, like, this, we're busy. And particularly, like, this week, because school starts on Thursday. We're really busy this week. But the creator of the universe, the one who created you, who knew you before the foundations of the world, who loved you so much that when you were dead in your trespasses and sin, he sent his son to die on a cross to pay for your sins and raised him from the dead. And that life that Jesus has as victorious over sin and death, like, he holds out and offers to you, that God has invited you into his life and his presence and relationship with him. He's set his name on you. He's adopted you into his family. That God offers you a chance to be with him. Yeah. Like, that God offers you a chance to be with him. Not the God of, like, what the preachers talk about sometimes, or when you think of your church or God baggage, like, not that God. It's the God of the Bible. Like, God, as he's revealed himself in this book, he offers you a chance to be with him through prayer and worship, and that's what discipleship is. That's what spiritual growth, like that's what leads to spiritual growth. It's just this great big yes to an invitation to be deeper and deeper in relationship with God. And as you are deeper and deeper in relationship with him, you find yourself very willing to live life more and more on his terms. And I want that for you. I just want that for you so much, that you would be more and more willing to live life on God's terms. I want to wrap up and show you one more little section of verses. And Jesus said this to a group of people, and I love these verses. He's looking at a very broad, diverse audience, but people who have been the victims of spiritual leaders who kept giving them stuff to do. More and more giving them stuff to do and lists, and they were saying yes to that path and walking that path. And Jesus looks at that group of people and he says, Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." A disciple is a learner. In relationship with Jesus, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." It's another way of saying, follow me. Walk in my dust. Just get behind me. "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And I think what we need to know, people who live life on their own terms find labor, heavy burdens, but those who are willing to learn from Jesus, who will follow him, who will let him redirect them, remake them, repurpose them, those people, they find rest for their souls. And I am excited about that for you and for us. From Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1, as we press on to maturity, and chapter 6, verse 9, experience these better things that are related to salvation. We have great days ahead. We have great days ahead.